Welcome to the Success Radio with Jed Ray. You can tune in each week as Jed and his guests talk about your success. You can join the conversation on the internet. Visit blogtalkradio.com/thesuccesscurve, where you can send your questions to Jed.
Well, good evening. My name is Jed Ray, and you are listening to The Success Curve. We're coming to you live from The Success Curve set at CTV Studios in Eugene, Oregon, broadcasting, simulcasting, and broadcasting equally to blogtalkradio.com/The Success Curve. And we also have a live feed going out to the internet, and that's a live stream. com/the success curve. Livestream.com/the success curve and blogtalkradio.com/the success curve. We're also being broadcast live on CTV Channel 29 in Eugene, Springfield. If you want to call in and join the conversation, please, the number is 347-989-8484. And if you're listening to this in a post recording, Thursdays at noon, or any other time for that matter, if it's not Wednesday at 7 p.m., there won't be anyone here to answer the call. That is a post-recording. But we have a great show for you tonight, and I hope that we'll entertain a lot with some content that I think will interest many, many people. And I was not totally unaware of this program, and so I'm happy to bring it to you. We actually have some services here in Eugene that the Returning Veterans Project provides. But I just want to make sure that everyone is fully aware that who we are, what we're all about, what this show's about. The Success Curve is a provocative, thought-creating talk show that talks about business, life, challenges, journeys, and the pathways to making a better you. And so we have a lot of conversations. This month, the conversation has been about healthcare. We'll close out the month with Nadine Mercy from Canada next week. She is going to be our guest host. So I look forward to sharing some about that. But let's chat about this evening, tonight, and hopefully we don't have some technical difficulties with Bell calling in. I might just temporarily turn on my cell phone. Oh, I left it in the other room. She's there? Okay. Well, anyway, our co-host for the evening is Executive Director of the Returning Veterans Project, Bell Landau. She was hired as the first executive, full-time executive director in November of 2009. Let me share just a little bit about why this is so dear to my heart and why this whole topic is very, very important. The Returning Veterans Program specializes in providing alternative health care, additional health care sources to, and not just returning vets, but their family. And there's some statistics here that I think I'll have Bell talk to. It's not just actually the veterans and their immediate family, like wife or children, but parents of vets. I see there's some statistics about mothers and fathers of current war vets. That is fascinating to me, where my guess is the VA administration wouldn't give credence to parents of veterans. I could be wrong, but it wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong about something. But I was interested when I saw some of these statistics. But let me just share with you briefly. The Returning Veterans Project is a nonprofit organization comprised of politically unaffiliated and independent healthcare practitioners who offer free and confidential services to returning veterans and service members of the current Iraq and Afghanistan campaigns and their families. Our volunteers include mental health professionals, acupuncturists, naturopaths, chiropractors, and massage therapists. We believe that it is our collective responsibility to offer support and healing for the short and long-term repercussions of the war zone service of our veterans and their families. I really, really want to welcome Belle Landau. Belle, are you there?
I am here. Yes, thank
you. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So glad to have you.
Thank you.
We're in the, obviously, you're on the phone and can't see the screen, but we have a PIP on the screen, and we're showing logos and some photographs of service personnel in multiple branches and family members. And so welcome, and thank you so very much for being a part of a program that continues to aid the service of people who work so hard for my freedom. And I probably will become emotional a couple times during the show just because it's hitting home for me. I mean, this is a very, very, very important thing that we do, and I can't say enough for what you do. I just thank you.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about these statistics. There's one question that I have to start with.
Sure.
When did the Returning Veterans Project actually begin?
It began in 2005. We just had celebrated our sixth anniversary a couple weeks ago. And it was started in Portland by a therapist named Carol Levine. And she was sitting in front of the TV news one night, listening to some of the folks that were coming home and what they were having to deal with after they came home from Iraq and Afghanistan. And she wanted to do something. She thought, what can I do? I can do therapy. So in about a month, she gathered 25 other therapists in Portland, and they put together this model that started just with mental health counseling the first year or so, and then they added the somatic services after that because they wanted to provide more holistic care.
Well, I want to draw everyone's attention to some staggering statistics in this particular organization, that the an increase in the last year. Now, some of that has to do with a large number of the Oregon National Guards coming home.
Yeah,
but that's
right.
still not representative of all of our service personnel in the area. And by the looks of it, this is not just the Portland area. There are some other areas that are affected. And so the potential for continued growth over the next, say, 2.5 to 3 years is potentially quite large.
It is. It is. Yeah, only the VA says that only about 40% of current war male vets and 30% of women vets are going to the VA for the services they need. So there's a huge population in rural areas of Oregon, in cities like Eugene, Salem, Portland, where people need services. And so we're trying to find providers throughout Oregon, actually. And we just got our first counselors in Eugene this fall, so I don't think anybody has a client yet, unfortunately. So, and we're trying to get the word out, and hopefully your show will help us do that.
Yeah, we will definitely do everything in our power. In fact, it dawned on me after I left campus this afternoon that I should have stopped over, and I will tomorrow. I will stop by the they have an office there for. And I'm not really sure what the name of the program is, but I do know exactly where the desk is in the EMU. Where the vets have a desk. It's in the alternative students office. It's older than, I think I don't know if they use the term older than average, but they there's an office in the basement of the EMU where they have a desk, and they man that desk most of the day. And they are returning vets who have acclimated back into society and started school, and they help other vets who are returning to school. But anyway.
Oh, that's great.
Go ahead.
So I think the need is huge, especially in more rural areas. You know, the waiting list in Oregon to get even a first initial assessment at the VA, at the Roseburg and White City VA, can be up to 6 months. So it takes a long time.
You made a comment that a very high percentage of family members and vets are not using the services of the VA. Is that one of the reasons, because of how long it takes? What are some of the other reasons why they won't go to use the VA services?
Well, the VA doesn't serve families, really. They'll provide some brief bereavement and educational services.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the VAs have a little bit of couples counseling, but other than that, they serve soldiers and veterans. And also, a lot of the vets and active duty folks don't want to use the services because they aren't confidential. So, say if you're still active duty, you've been over in Iraq once, you have PTSD, you want services, your commanding officer can look at your health care file and find out about your diagnosis, and that can impact your career in the military and in civilian life as well. Yeah. So I think the VA is really overwhelmed. You know, they do good work with folks, but there just aren't enough of them, you know.
Bell made a comment about only service personnel. I want to read some stats that she sent me earlier in the week, and this is what was staggering for me. When I first read this, I was just shocked that a nonprofit organization providing pro bono services, these practitioners that are providing their services to the service personnel, family. I'll explain what I mean by that. Currently, there's 130 males and 33 males of current war veterans that are being serviced. Two males, three females of spouses of current
53 females.
53.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
53.
Mm-hmm.
Two fathers, three mothers of current vets. I know for a fact the VA wouldn't even look at that opportunity.
Right, right. They can't do that, yeah.
One mother of a fallen soldier. An Oregon soldier, three male children and six female children of current war vets, one male relative. Do we know, is that a cousin?
I don't know. It could be a brother. It could be a sibling.
Okay, it could be a brother. Okay.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of a current war vet, and 20 current war veteran groups receiving couples and family counseling. That is just fantastic. And the numbers, and we talked about the number increase. I didn't share that with you.
Yeah.
But Bell's organization has seen 144% increase over 2009. That's where it becomes very real to me. Those numbers are not, they're real. And when you look at that they've served and 102 increase in numbers of service hours delivered, that's 102%. That's huge.
Yeah.
First of all, that means that there are numbers. But that also, let me ask you this, is this a one-time service or is this an ongoing service?
No, people can stay in services for as long as they need. Like if you need counseling and it needs to be, one of the mothers of a fallen soldier has been seeing somebody about every other week for the last 2 years. And for as long as she needs services, that's how long it lasts.
Oh.
And so you can come back, like if you got chiropractic care and you need to come back in again, you can come back. You can get counseling and acupuncture and other services all at the same time. So, and you don't have to show a DD-214 or, you know, proof of service.
You're listening to Bell Landau, Executive Director of Returning Veterans Project, based in Portland, Oregon, providing services to a great many areas in the state of Oregon right now. And if this thing gets out, this could grow even more. Right now, the Tri-County area in Portland, St. Helens, Newport, Marion County, Eugene, Hood River, Bend, and Southern Oregon. This is just a wonderful, wonderful project. And I'm so, so blessed to be able to be a part of helping to communicate this message. Bell, let me ask you some other questions.
Sure.
what, besides some of the services that you provided, are there any other, what are the list of services that that currently the project is providing?
Mental health counseling and couples counseling, and we also have some child therapists who work with children and adolescents. We have a couple of drug and alcohol counselors. And then we provide chiropractic, naturopathic care, acupuncture, and massage. And every provider is licensed and insured, and they agree to open at least one pro bono slot in their practice for the folks that we serve.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went through the list of current service numbers, and my guess is that we pretty much answered the question: who qualifies for the service? Is it just anyone that's related to the service personnel, male or female?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So it's children, and it technically could be brothers and cousins.
Yes.
If there's some relationship to them.
Right.
Listen.
Right. And they're impacted. Yeah.
Yeah, and they are impacted, especially in small family units.
Right.
And we've addressed the fact that there's no limitation to them getting services.
Right.
Go ahead.
Services are accessed at our website, which is returningveterans.org, and people just go to the Find a Provider page. They pick the kind of service they want, the geographic area, and then if we have providers in that area, names and profiles and contact information comes up, and then they just call and say, I want Returning Veterans Project services, and schedule an appointment.
In one of the questions that I have here, I'm not familiar with what RVP stands for. Why is that needed for veterans to go to a VA healthcare? What's that in regards to?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Why is RVP needed for when veterans?
Returning Veterans Project. Why
I see. That's what it means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's okay.
I guess I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
It goes back to, I think, the number of returning vets that Oregon has. We don't have an active duty military base anywhere in Oregon. I think we're one of only 5 states that does not have a military base. And, you know, oftentimes that's where people get the support that they need when they come home. And so the VAs and the VA clinics are spread out across Oregon. They're overwhelmed. A lot of them don't have enough therapists on staff, and I think people at the VA see high numbers of people, you know, and there's all kinds of issues,
mm-hmm.
including not just post-traumatic stress disorder, but military sexual trauma and traumatic brain injury, which impacts a lot of people, and I'm hearing that folks in Afghanistan are suffering more TBIs than even the people in Afghanistan did. There's more IED explosions happening there, which you're not really hearing about very much in the press. But so there's just high numbers. These multiple deployments of our Guard and Reserve members are really impacting service members and vets and families. It's raising the risk for suicide, divorce rates are really climbing in the military, especially among military women. They're the highest for military women. Child abuse rates go up during deployments. Domestic violence rates go up after. If you have PTSD, combat-related PTSD, you're 4 times more likely to batter your partner than if you don't. So there's a lot of issues for families. And the 41st, the 2,600 that came back in April of 2010, they came back from a year-long deployment. Half of them had already been there 2, 3, or 4 times. And when they came home, 51% came back unemployed, and 170 came home without a known address. So lots.
Well, when you look at previous wars, the multiple deployment didn't exist until these last two conflicts that we've been involved in.
Right.
And
right.
Sadly enough, because we reduced the size, and there's some valuable reason to reducing it, because of the technology that we currently possess in our wartime environments, it's not necessary to have massive numbers. But unfortunately, we're abusing the numbers that we have, and you just alluded to the complexity with which they come home because of multiple deployments.
Right, and Guard members are older. You know, their average age is 30. Most of them have families, so it's different than if you're 18 or 19.
Right.
And you probably don't have any kids, you know. So I think the impact is going to be huge on children of these families as well.
Yeah, and that's and ultimately we're just seeing those effects.
Right.
Some of those children were very young, and now they're of adolescent years, and the whole dynamic of that is yet to be determined.
I'll
tell a quick story. Interesting, my nephew was at the University of Oregon involved in the first of its kind called the Telling. The Telling was a live performance performed at the theater at the University of Oregon for the of the returning vets, wives or families of fallen vets, and it was quite a powerful exhibition of, and let's put it this way, there was no censoring. They were allowed to tell their story without fear of any reprisal from the outside.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, they were allowed to share this in Washington, D.C. 2 years ago on Veterans Day for the president and staff members. And military dignitaries were there as well, and so it was a powerful experience. And now it's gone nationwide. I do not know where John is right now, what state he's currently working in, but I did know that I believe it was San Diego State was involved. I believe that one of the universities in Arkansas were involved. There were several other schools that were looking at allowing their military personnel to create a telling project, and so he's basically traveling the country creating more and more telling projects on the university campuses. And
telling your story can be very, very healing, you know. That's a wonderful project.
You said that that currently we don't have any service personnel that are using services. How many in the Eugene area, how many providers do we actually have in Eugene right now?
We have four counselors in the Eugene area right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So they're all available.
Now, are these counselors, by any chance, are they CADC certified alcohol and drug counselors as well?
I think there are some, yeah.
A couple of them, okay.
And they work for, their organizations that they work for are letting them do the pro bono work at their agency. So the Center for Family Development in Eugene and Options Counseling both have some RVP providers, and they can provide pro bono services through their organization for the folks that we serve. So that's really generous of their agencies. We really appreciate that.
Well, you're listening to Bell Landau, the Executive Director of Returning Veterans Project. My name is Jed Ray. You're listening to The Success Curve, coming to you live from the Success Curve set at CTV Studios in Eugene, Oregon. Simulcast broadcast live through livestream.com/thesuccesscurve and blogtalkradio.com/thesuccesscurve. The call-in number, if you want to chat with Bell, is 347-989-8484. Also, if you're there's a guest, some guests in the chat room at Blog Talk. If you are a guest and you don't have a login, just log back out. It only take about 30 seconds to create a free account, log back in, and then you'll have the opportunity to actually use the chat room. If you come in as an anonymous guest, Unfortunately, all you can do is listen. You won't be able to dialogue with us. We're going to take a break here in just a moment and give Bill a chance to take a breath. And we'll be back in, 40-some seconds or so. We'll be right back.
You never know what's going to happen on a marvelous Monday.
Am I on?
You're jumping the gun. You're going to give away the climax by asking the question.
Yeah, Phil, stop it. What you do?
Harry wants to know the details.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. I promise.
Am I on?
I think
these guys get together in a small room and they start farting. You know, it's not just one individual fart from each person. It blends together and creates this whole new aroma that's completely different.
I don't know if I would use the word aroma.
That's a good one.
Yeah, baby.
Turn your marvelous on every Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Vivid Life Radio. Go to marvelousmondays.info.
Just smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave.
Am I on?
That was my wonderful friends from Ohio and New York, Phil and Harry. They have an awesome program on Monday evenings. I highly recommend that you check out Vivid Life Radio and the Marvelous Mondays. I'm one of the usual suspects on their show. In fact, Harry and I hosted a radio show last night and had just had a blast. So Harry and Phil on Monday evening, please join them. Bell.
Yeah.
You are listening to Bell Landau, Executive Director of Returning Veterans Project. We've been talking about this amazing nonprofit organization that provides free services to the veterans, returning veterans, their families, their immediate family, their extended family, and anyone in their family that's affected by their deployment and their return from hell. And you know, I this is my show and I can say anything I want and nobody's going to cut the cord on it. This is a valuable, extremely valuable program that helps people who give their life for our freedom. And it's something that you need to understand, we need to band together to help these people. They're out there day in and day out in harm's way every moment of every day that they're deployed. And sadly enough, they come home with some real, real issues that we need to honor them with and support, give them the support and the backing that they just so deserve. So Bell is a valuable asset. Mm. So let's talk about funding.
Yeah,
which is real critical. let's talk about funding. Since that is your charge as executive director, one of your charges,
right,
is growing this program. How are you currently funded?
We are funded by individual donations and some foundation grants. And mm-hmm. we have also a little bit of corporate contributions in there. And then we also host two continuing education trainings every year that are free to our providers and to people at the VA, and then open for a small fee to other interested practitioners. So we make a little bit of money from that, not very much, but most of it, I think $31,000 last year was from individual donors, and then about $50,000 was from corporate and foundation contributions.
Okay.
So
well,
it's a small budget. There's one and a half of us on staff.
One and a half, okay.
Yeah.
So that other half is carrying a big load as well.
She does. She's the program coordinator, so she's in contact with all of the providers, and she does all the website tracking and the accounting and, you know, information referral and all of that. That's the other thing that increased after the 41st came back. Our information referral calls went up 70%. So that has a huge impact on us at the office too.
So between the 1.5 positions, though, that phone is ringing quite regularly, so you're managing that as well.
Right.
Is that true?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Well, we're going to come back to this discussion on funding here in a second. We have a caller on the line.
Great.
Hello?
Hello there. This is Max.
Hello, Max. How
Hi,
are you?
Hi, Max.
Hi, Belle. I always have something to say about something, Jed. You know that.
Yes, ma'am. I encourage this conversation every time she calls. What's up, Max?
Well, I could see how emotional you were about, you know, what this project is all about. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to say is I am so supportive of this project, and I have been from the beginning, as Belle will tell you. And the reason is because it includes the family.
Mm-hmm.
I was a young Vietnam wife, and we weren't included.
Right.
And yet we were the survivors also. We are the veterans. And, you know, it's one of the reasons that I want to really support this project is because I know that the young wives that are left waiting are getting support through this project. And thank you so much for that, Belle.
Well, thank you. Max is the person who was instrumental in us getting the board to approve adding alcohol and drug counselors this
last
year.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, I know.
That doesn't surprise me in the least. You give
so
her a
very
charge.
We're grateful
and
to her for that.
The other thing I want to say also is how important their funding base is. The fact that they do not take government funding is very instrumental to these guys coming in for treatment.
Absolutely.
Many of the guys that come back that have particularly PTSD issues, you know, they're not going to go to the VA hospital to seek mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And for many, many reasons. But it's really important that this organization is funded through private funds. So, or grants, or, you know, as long as it is in government money. And Belle, I think you're doing a wonderful job being the steward of the money for this organization. And, you know, please let me know whatever I can do to help.
Thank you. Thank you, Max. I will.
What a beautiful spirit. Yeah, and that goes for me, too. This is not over. We just started a very healthy relationship, Belle.
Cool.
That's, you know, the interesting thing that Max said, and I want to reiterate it again, Belle addressed the reason why the service personnel do not go to VA for some or most of the mental and emotional distress that they're going through is because of the access of their superiors to their medical records. That is a critical component that is almost, in a sense, the reason, the main reason why they will not seek those services. So they're going untreated.
Yeah, I think that's one of the main reasons. And, you know, everything that I've heard, you know, I didn't really know anything about the military before starting this position. Previously, I worked for agencies that serve women and children. And my son was in the Navy for 8 years, and I saw how it impacted him, and this job came open, and you know, it's become my passion now, and I know that there, and everything I hear is there really still is a very strong existing stigma in the military against asking others for help, especially for mental health issues. So that's another main reason that folks don't reach out. And they think that it's not okay to ask for help. You know, they're service members. They're supposed to be strong, buck it up. And a lot of people also come home not really knowing what's happening to them. It might not happen for 6 months or a year, and PTSD symptoms can even start 12 years later, you know. Mm-hmm. And so not everybody understands why they are having flashbacks, what flashbacks are, why they can't sleep, why they walk the perimeter of their house every night, why they're speeding on the freeway thinking that someone's going to shoot at them. You know, they're just not aware of why they're doing what they're doing. They might think, I'm going crazy. I'm different. But I think it's important, if anybody out there is listening who is a vet, that PTSD is just a human response to war. It's a normal response. You know, we're human beings and we're affected by the things that you see when you're in a combat zone. It's really a normal response that can be really helped with treatment. And acupuncture and massage can really help to relieve symptoms of PTSD. Just contact with the body and nurturing touch can be really helpful to relieve symptoms. And often once the symptoms are relieved, people will then seek out mental health counseling. Mm-hmm. So they kind of work together.
Well, and I know that that particular condition is ever increasing, mm-hmm. even in the general population as a result of their coming home too. So families are affected.
Exactly.
And they also are being diagnosed with PTSD.
Secondary
so
PTSD.
Secondary,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Max, are you still there, dear? Did she drop off? Okay, so Max dropped off. Max Verbre, local therapist and counselor here in town, also the owner and creator of Online Wellness Association, a credentialing company, who credentials the therapists, counselors, service people who provide service to this particular population and the general population as well. She actually will be coming on the set in a couple weeks to talk a little bit more about Online Wellness Association. So we thank Max Verbre for her contribution to what both Bill and I get the luxury of doing, and that's serving as well. I can also give Max some accolades for where I'm my current journey. I think that she gets some kudos and props for a lot of guidance and support and suggestions whenever. Well, that's why you're here, Bill. I mean,
I know.
It was because of some conversation that I had with Max. So she's an extremely valuable part of my life, and I'm very grateful for her friendship, her love, and her support in my life. So awesome person. So if you are listening to The Success Curve, this is Jed Ray coming to you live from CETV Studios in Eugene, Oregon, while we're simulcasting to blogtalkradio.com/ The Success Curve. The call-in number is 347-989-8484. And if you're hearing that and seeing that on the screen, it's right there below me. And it's not Wednesday at 7 p.m., between 7 and 8 Pacific time, I don't think anybody will be here to answer the phone call, so you're listening to a tape delay. We are also broadcasting live on livestream.com/ The Success Curve. You can also check it out. I forgot to tell you, we have a Facebook page also. We're kind of highly technical here with a multiple connection rate, so you can get us at Facebook. There's a Facebook page there, The Success Curve, as well. Belle, what are the projections for the coming year? I want to get back to the funding thing. This question is directly related to the funding, but you have an anticipated projection of services that are going to be needed over the course of the next, say, 12 months?
Yeah, I think it's going to be at least another 100% increase in service numbers. That would be my guess. As word gets out about what we're doing, we're starting to get more people, okay. You know, which that makes sense, and that's what we want. But it means I probably need to get another 60 providers around Oregon in the next year, and I'd like to focus on in Lane County, because you do have a pretty high number of returning vets there, and then also in the Bend area. And so we have We have nobody in Eastern Oregon yet. And that's where there's some really isolated Guard members and Reserve members. So
yeah, the it's amazing the rural community, how poorly they're serviced and have always been. I started my career working for Umatilla County Mental Health
in the
early 80s. And it was, you know, the Pendleton area, but we serviced from the border. Umatilla County is a fairly large rural community, and it can be very problematic. There's unfortunately they're underserved and also under cost. So it's a problem that's always there.
Yeah, one exciting thing that I just learned about, I was up at the VA, I think it was about a month ago, and they asked me to come and speak to their mental health nurse case managers, and they started a new program. They're using Skype to do mental health services with people in outlying areas, and so they will even, they'll hook up the computer for them, the webcam, get them a Skype account, and then do counseling via Skype with folks that are way out in rural areas. So that's kind of exciting that the VA is embracing technology like that. That's cool.
Yeah, and I'll just share on that same note, even at the VA in Roseburg, and I believe the VA in Boise, when I was working in the cardiac industry several years ago, the doctors in Portland would communicate via a video conferencing system.
Right. They do that a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what that did is it reduced the amount of cost and that how far that service personnel had to travel to get services. And so that's what Bill was just talking about. We're reducing the burden on the service personnel having to travel in those small large rural areas so far to get services. And even at that point, in a lot of cases, some of what they provide in the small rural areas is not significant enough, and so they have to be transported to Portland. And that's, you know, I remember seeing the VA van running up and down the freeway, and so we reduced that. So that's a great opportunity to service that community. So getting back to the funding. So if we're having another 100% increase, in the next, let's just say the next 12 months, or maybe longer, maybe 18 months, or maybe less, maybe 9 months. What does that come down to in terms of funding need? Are we talking hundreds of thousands of dollars? Are we talking millions of dollars?
No.
Come on.
Okay.
We need millions,
well, last year, on a budget of $86,000, we did what we did. We got a total of, we have 102 providers at the end of the year, and then all the service numbers that you already related. We served 254 people with 1,900 hours of service. So that was on 86,000. The budget for this year, our fiscal year is January through December, so it just started. Okay. And then our budget is 107,000 this year.
But now that doesn't add another halftime position or another or another full-time position that will be more than likely greatly needed just to manage the population.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
So
and that would be another 20,000, 25,000 for a halftime position. Yeah.
So what I'm getting at, listeners and viewers, is that this program needs at least another $50,000 in funding.
Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I can
there
hear you,
are.
Bill. Oh, well,
you went away for a minute.
in this technical leg, this three-legged chair we're sitting on, feeding out of the studio, feeding an audio signal out to Blog Talk and a video signal out to live stream, we still have some technical issues that we're dealing with from time to time. So thank you for bearing.
Sure.
Because you disappeared on me about 10 minutes ago and for probably a good 30, 35 seconds. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it was just me that couldn't hear you or if the rest of the world couldn't hear you. But
right.
Back to my comment, listeners, viewers, at least a minimum of $50,000 is needed for the Returning Veterans Project this year alone to give a buffer to helping Bill and her halftime staff manage the flow of returning vets and their families. So I would challenge you to look inward just for a moment. Look inward. Where would you be? Where would you be right this very moment if those young men and women were not doing what they were doing to keep you free, to keep you safe in your home? Where would you be? Think about that for just a moment. Please, open your heart up. I'll have Bell give some demographic information to where you can send. It doesn't matter how much. Just send some support to this organization because it's truly providing a great service. I mean, look at, we're talking the medical personnel that are involved in their in this project are giving their services away pro bono. The least you can do is dig into that pocket and help these young people when they come home. Because I can guarantee you this, I'll go a little bit deeper. I spent 22 years as a volunteer for the city of Cobourg as a PO. I know what the result is of some of the damaging behavior that can occur with this population if we don't help them. And you don't want that. You can't afford to have this population without the help they need. You can't afford that. So you better pay it now, and you don't want to pay it later. Please think about this. Bell, can you give us some demographics about where people can send their contributions?
Sure, absolutely. You can make an online donation at our website, www.returningveterans.org, or you can send a check or information with your Visa number or MasterCard number to our mailing address, which is Returning Veterans Project at 833 Southeast Main, Box 122, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
We've got just a few more minutes left, and I want to close out with trying to stay as the remaining part of this conversation may get a little bit wet. So anyway, I encourage you. Again, that's www.returningveterans.org. Returningveterans.org.
Exactly.
You can go to that website, contact Bell's organization, 833 Southeast Main Street, Box 122, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please consider this a privilege, because of the privilege that you have to live in a safe environment is not because we're fortunate that we have this person or that person, but because we have these service personnel who have gone and given everything that they are, everything about them, their spirit, their souls, their minds, their body. Many of them have come back extremely damaged, not just mentally and emotionally, but physically as well. I have a friend who will struggle his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He was, unfortunately, Brian is special forces, and a lot of what he did goes untold, is
right
behind a cloak of great secrecy, and some of the things that he's been through, just it's tough. It affects even neighbors. It affects communities. It's not just him. It's not just
employers and family. Yeah, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I cannot begin to thank you for your efforts for this particular population. Again, you're listening to Bill Landau, Executive Director of Returning Veterans Project, a nonprofit organization of caregivers and support people from counselors to therapists to acupuncturists, naturopaths, chiropractors, massage therapists, and most importantly, counselors and mental health professionals giving their time pro bono to our returning service people. So
do you
we're
have time for me to tell you a success story about
there we do. We have 10 minutes, so I definitely have time for you to tell a success story, and I'd like to hear that.
Okay, we were contacted last fall by a young woman by email who wanted to thank us. You know, I don't usually know who we serve because it's confidential, not only free, but confidential. So when a provider gets a new client, they let us know, and our database generates a random number that is assigned to the client. So all I know is that a new client was being served. Maybe they're a female veteran, and that would be all that I would know about them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So this young woman, and it makes it hard to fundraise, you know, if you don't really know who you're serving. So this young woman emailed us and said that she wanted to give back in some way. And so we used her story for our Veterans Day mailing. She was a captain. She served two tours in Iraq. She was in charge of a piece of equipment that has 40 tires and that moves all the other equipment, heavy equipment, throughout Iraq. So
mm-hmm.
she was in charge of that. That was her command. So she traveled all through Iraq with this piece of equipment, taking tanks and Humvees and everything else around the country. And as you can imagine, she lost a lot of her soldiers. Her best friend died in Baghdad when she was out on a mission. And so she came back home intact, feeling like she didn't deserve to go to the VA because she didn't lose her life, she didn't lose a limb, she didn't have a traumatic brain injury, so she didn't deserve any services.
Mm.
And she rented a house in Vancouver, Washington, in early summer, and nobody told her that Vancouver has a huge fireworks display every 4th of July.
Oh, no.
After the 4th of July, she lived in her basement for the next year and a half and was drinking heavily. She did hold down a job, but then the rest of her time was spent in that basement. And somebody gave her one of our brochures, and after a year and a half, she finally decided that she just could not live that way anymore, and she got help from one of our therapists and also mm-hmm. from one of our acupuncturists. And now she's holding down a job, she has a fiancé, and she's becoming a social worker. So she's an amazing young woman, and she grew up in the Eugene area. And,
oh, wow.
Her grandmother was a woman's Marine in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Her aunt is an Army mechanic, and she has another cousin who's a woman who is serving in Iraq as well. So this is a family of women soldiers, which is very, very rare. And she's just an amazing young woman, and it was really an honor for me to get to know her and to learn her story and to be able to share her story. So,
what a powerful, powerful representation of what our service personnel go through.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just the simple thought that because she didn't perceive herself as having as many issues as her fellow personnel,
right?
She didn't feel that she needed the service or didn't deserve it.
Right, and that's a story you hear a lot, actually.
Yeah. Well, to address that story a bit further, it even goes further than that they'll carry around a huge amount of guilt, especially for the loss of some of their close colleagues and friends
right.
that didn't come home.
Right.
And so that internal that internal event that occurs
right.
in their life is with them forever and ever, and they hold the guilt that it should have been them instead of that they should have been there to help. They should
right.
have been there to save.
Right.
They should have been there to help take care of them. And then what happened is they believe that they let their brother or sister down, and,
right.
which is far from the case, but it's that's anyway.
Yeah.
Belle, I just thank you so much for that story. Let's talk a little bit about I want to talk a little bit about the impact Bodywork Services has on your clients. What exactly
okay.
is the Bodywork Service?
Again, acupuncture, chiropractic care, and massage.
Mm-hmm.
So
what are those things? What do those kinds of practices? Is there something more that you can share from? I know you're not a medical professional, but
right,
can you tell
right.
a little bit about what those services are actually doing for the service
sure.
personnel that come,
sure.
come to you?
One of the main things that I am hearing about the acupuncture is, you know, sometimes with traumatic disorders like PTSD and high anxiety and hypervigilance and not sleeping when you come back, people suffer greatly from migraines and stress headaches, and some people have headaches for a year that have never gone away. And so acupuncture has been really effective at relieving those kinds of symptoms, symptoms of stress, low back pain, that kind of thing, that chronic pain. And that's really helpful for people. The Vet Center in Portland refers a lot of people to us, and the VA does as well, and therapist at the Vet Center called me a couple months ago and said that one of the vets that she sees came to us for acupuncture, and he came back and told her that for the first time since he came home, he didn't have a migraine, and he also did not get into a fight with his wife for a whole week, which was really rare, and he thought it was the acupuncture. So that was really cool to hear. So it can really just help ramp down some of those symptoms that people come home with after they've been... You know, you've got the cortisol running through your brain the whole time that you're over there. Especially if you're in a combat zone, and you're always hypervigilant and have to be so on your toes. And frankly, a lot of people are highly medicated over there. You know, they're on anxiety drugs, antidepressants, Ambien, sometimes OxyContin, just a variety of meds that are given to them without therapy and people come home with those issues as well, and acupuncture and massage can help relieve some of that and help people get off those meds too. So I think that's important. And sometimes, again, it opens people up for counseling. If you can nurture them through touch and healing touch that's safe and nurturing in a setting that's professional, sometimes you can get somebody to realize they need counseling. And
I just got to say, we're just about out of time, and I just want to say thank you so, so very much for what you do for this population. I know that you can also look for some volunteers, and I would highly, highly recommend that you contact Belle and offer whatever services you can. If you can't dig deep enough in your pocket to help fund the organization, you can surely take some time out of your busy schedule to help these young returning vets and their families and their extended families. And I'm sure that Belle can find something for you to do. So, again, you can contact them through the returningvets.org. You can call in at 503-933-4996 and find out how you can help. Again, this is The Success Curve. We'll see you next week. Belle, thank you so very much. We're going to keep this conversation up, and we'll contact you again.
Okay, great. I'd love to come back. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Good night. So this is the success curve. We'll be signing off in just a few seconds. Again, you listen to us every Monday or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern or 7 p.m. Pacific time. I'm tongue-tied. That was a great call by Bell Landau.